Welcome to Land Academy. This is the Cash Flow from Land Show, where we show you how to buy unwanted vacant land and sell it for more on the internet. I'm Steve Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We are your hosts. With over 15,000 completed transactions, we are the experts in this niche land flipping business.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com. All right, let's get this show started.
Steve Butella here from Land Academy. Welcome to our Cash Flow from Land show. In this episode, Joe and I talk about the fact that it cracks both of us up that people are still trying to find cheap property using the methods from the 20th century.
Right?
In fact, the title of the show is, Hey, It's Not 1979. Let's get you up to speed on sourcing undervalued property in this century.
Right.
Jill, great show today. I think it's going to be funny.
It's going to be really good.
I have a lot of stuff to say. I know you do too. Hey, before we get at it, let's take a question from a caller.
Okay. Sam from Modesto called in and asked.
Where is Modesto?
Modesto, California.
I know. Where is it?
Northern California. Northern.
Like north of Bay San Francisco? Area.
It's real close.
Okay.
Yeah, real close. Does the data really help?
You say data.
I know. You say data. Do you say data? I say data.
Data.
You say data? Mm-hmm. Data.
Oh, it's over.
Data,
that.
Data.
That's it.
Forget
for
it. Tomato, tomato. Yeah.
No,
whatever.
We can't go on.
Stinker. Does the data, whatever, really help with all property types?
What? Oh, my.
Hold on a moment. All right. This is a good question. Does it make sense to do? These are kind of two different questions. And then it says, does it make sense to do land and SFR, single family residence, flips, or am I crazy? So, Stephen, this, because we shook hands on this stuff.
Right.
This is totally your expertise. Would you answer this for us, please?
Jill and I shook hands on, she's going to answer questions that regarding sales and social media and stuff and dealing with customers and sellers. And I'm going to answer the technical stuff. She made me shake hands on it. You know why? Because she thinks I talk too much.
No.
And she's probably right.
No, because you are better at that stuff. That's why.
Oh, it makes all the difference, Sam from Modesto. Yes. Quality data. Listen, never buy a list from somebody, ever. You never want to do... Here's the thing. You can buy a list or you can buy access to a fantastic database. A database that's constantly being maintained through feeds or live feeds or whatever version of that is. In our Data to Doorstep product, we grant you access to a RealQuest Pro, which is the, in my opinion, and pretty much everybody else's, the best data in the world. It comes directly from all of the counties, the county assessors. 99.8% mm-hmm. of county assessors are tapped into this thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and it does work with all property types.
It does work with all property types, and you got to have the right data. So please don't waste your money on a super cheap list. It could be from 40 years ago. You have mm-hmm. no idea. You want access to a database, and it doesn't have to be ours.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's another one out there that's great.
Well, if you went to the county directly.
Yeah.
That would be the only other source that I would really trust.
Right, but then, even then, I mean, it's not going to be in the right format.
That's the problem with it.
People at CoreLogic, that their whole careers are managing data so that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get that for it. And here's the other thing. So then the real money's not in the data. All right. That's going to be pretty inexpensive for you to buy no matter where you get it. But you're going to send letters out.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to waste 50 cents or whatever number it ends up being for you on bad data and have no returns? You don't buy anything? No. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure the mailer you're sending out, you're going to get some return on it.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Okay, what about his question two?
Does it make sense to do land and SFR flips? Yeah. Yeah, it's the same database. So we're not just, these databases are just not a single product type. I'm glad he asked this, actually. Mm-hmm. Everything's in there. Every single property that the assessor has is in there. Strip malls, regional malls, single family residential houses, golf courses, hospitals, whatever you'd like to flip, it's mm-hmm. in there. We should make a bigger deal out of that.
You know, it's funny you say golf courses. I had somebody, I just remembered that. Gosh, it was like a year ago. Somebody came to me with a golf course.
I remember
actually
that.
Actually, wanted to know if I wanted to buy it. I'm like, what am I going to do? I don't want it. You know, I thank you, but no, because I don't want to maintain a golf course.
Boy, now's an appropriate time to bring up Stick to your acquisition criteria.
Uh-huh.
In your career, you're going to get some crazy phone calls.
Right.
My brother-in-law's got a ranch he wants to sell.
Right.
Listen to it, but don't waste 4 months of your life on that. You can make a lot of money just sticking to your own specific acquisition criteria.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Let's get everybody up to speed, Jill.
Okay.
On how to source undervalued property, because it's not 1979.
You mean I can't just put an ad in the classifieds? That was my thing.
No, I heard somebody recently say, hey, I put a bunch of bandit signs out. I haven't heard someone say that.
I haven't
heard the phrase bandit signs.
I haven't in a long time, too.
I wonder what's the origin of that.
Is that the stuff that's like you staple it? Used to be you staple it to a telephone pole, or it's sticking up out of the ground.
Sticking up out of the ground at a stoplight.
That's it.
Like house for sale, 22731 Oakwood.
For rent.
Yeah.
That thing. So I hadn't heard that either until recently.
What a waste of time.
I know.
Yeah, so... What else? What else are if it's 1979? What do you do to get property?
I said the classified ads.
Driving for dollars.
Yeah, please that's don't true. Ever drive for I'm dollars. Driving around. I see a boarded up house. I'm gonna find out who owns that one house, and I'm gonna spend a week on it. That
if this
one
is
house.
The first episode you've ever listened to. Watch how I can just push Jill's buttons on this. Hey, Jill, tell us about driving for dollars.
Don't even go there. Not funny. Let's
There's a few
spend
things that she flips
8
her lid over.
Hours in our cars. And if we're lucky, we're going to hand out the 5 business cards that I have in my pocket that I went with today. Now, I handed out my 5 cards. Never mind, all 5 of them ended up in the trash probably.
No, that's the wrong way to do it. Please don't do it.
Hey, Mr. Seriously. Jones, you should sell this house. And here's my card. What is that?
Plus, the other thing is that if you're driving for dollars and you're driving around, not only is it a waste of time, what you're doing then is focusing on the actual piece of real estate as an investment, and that's not what you should do. You should be focusing on the deal,
mm-hmm.
how great the deal is, not the piece of the actual real estate.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 9 things wrong with it, but that's kind of beyond the scope of what we're supposed to talk about here today.
Mm-hmm.
What you want to do is spend 2 or 3 hours on a weekend, because you probably have a regular job, making the most of those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is to scrub some data, learn how to scrub data from us or someone else. Get access to a great database like we talked about earlier, and send some offers out in the mail. It takes the same amount of time to send 17,000 offers out as it does 300 offers out.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same scrubbing process. You turn it all over to the bulk mailer / printer that we have lined up for you, or the printer of your choice. But I'll tell you right now, if you choose the printer, you're going to spend a heck of a lot more money than mm-hmm. if you'd use ours. Ours is cheaper than the price of a stamp.
Mm-hmm.
How can that be? I don't want to get into that now.
No, but that's
what
a good
bulk,
point.
Bulk mail license is.
So back to what you're saying, though, which is important, is let's think about this. Okay, so I'm spending this is my side gig. So I'm spending 8 hours on a Sunday driving for dollars. And I'm maybe, what if I touched on 10 people? I know people like in bigger pockets that say, if I touched on 10 people, that's a good day. Well, I could have sent out 10,000 offers in that time. And my time is valuable. So I save time and money. I mean, it really makes sense. And then I just sit back and let them call me. These 10 people, how many times do I have to do that? If we talk about, let's go back. You said 1,000, we've talked about 1,000 letters to buy one house.
That's right.
Okay. So that means how many days of driving for dollars to get 1,000 people to buy one house?
A lot of days.
That says it
100 days.
Right there. So right. That's 100 days if I have 10 people a day.
Or 2 hours on Sunday.
Wow.
Which one do you want?
Yeah, or 2 hours on Sunday. Gee, let me think.
Here's another thing. Please stop doing this if you're doing it. And I'm going to tell you why people continually do it even since ever. The reason that people do these things from 1979 and before is because once in a while, they work. It's
right.
The same reason that people go to a casino.
Yes.
Once in a while, you pull the handle and you win.
Yes.
But all the other times, it really doesn't make any sense at all.
It's like the guy last night.
Yeah.
We ran into this British guy. We met this British guy last night. Remember, he was drinking Sazerac. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah,
okay, this is a good story. So we were out to dinner last night. We met this guy from Birmingham,
UK.
And he was here. He flew into Phoenix. to pick up a rental car to drive it to Vegas to spend a couple days in Vegas because that is his favorite city in the U.S. There's a point to the story, I promise. So,
if Las Vegas is your favorite city, you have to ask yourself some questions.
It's a favorite city for a lot of people, I got to tell you, especially international. That's all I'm going to say. People come from all over the world to go to Vegas.
We lose listeners by something I say on every show, and that was just it.
All right, back to my story. So here's what's so cool about this guy. So he flew here because the 2016 Mustang is 15. Out. I think it was 16. We're in 16, babe.
No, the 50-year anniversary on the Mustang, because the first year of the Mustang was 65. 64 and a half and 65,
Whatever. Anyway, you can't rent the Mustang in England.
They don't have these car things. I know. From Detroit.
But he came here to rent a Mustang because he was dying to drive this car.
It's so a 50th anniversary Mustang.
He picked up a Mustang. It was cool, an 8-cylinder, 2.5
liter. 5-liter V8. They've been making a 5.0 forever.
There you go.
Ask me any car questions.
Okay. You're interrupting my story. I'm giving you a dirty look right now.
I know.
So he picked up this Mustang to drive. This was good too. To drive it to Vegas because he wanted to experience driving this car. You can't get him can't get him. So he was all excited and just jacked about this whole experience. And so Stephen, of course, asked, "How fast does it go? Does it go over 180?" And the guy said, "Yeah, it does."
I'm gonna check that top speed because there's governors and stuff on those.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was a Zazerac-driven answer.
I don't know, but that was his whole thing, was driving to Vegas and doing this Mustang, so we were having a fun talk with this guy. So what was interesting, bringing it back to Vegas and tying it back into the show, which is, this was his 13th trip to Vegas and the first time he's ever won anything. Do you remember that, Stephen? And yep. He won $4,000, and he was just like, and we're like, oh, great. Now now you can never do it again. Because that was it. You're done. And he probably will still go. But it was a really good story. And I thought that was, when you said Vegas and winning, it made me think of that. Googled this Mustang. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's 164. The Google says 164 miles an hour top speed. And that even kind of frightens me.
Right.
There's governors on cars now and stuff. It's not like 1979 when there's no computers.
This is good. Tie it back into 1979. I love it. Do you know what's great too? This is going to be fun because I love this. When we were talking 1979, I was thinking of some of the funny things. And we were having a discussion recently with kid number three about banana seats. You remember that?
Yeah, and he thought it was another one of our, like, oh my God, my parents are talking about the sex thing again. Like we made it. Because of the word banana.
Exactly.
If you're old enough to know what a banana seat is, it's nothing to do with that.
So we made a Google banana seat. He's like, that's the stupidest thing. And we just like, is this what a bike looked like for you guys? Or back then, not necessarily for both of us. But anyway, we're like, yeah, that's.
Did we answer the question? What's the right way to source undervalued property?
Get up to speed. I'm sorry, I got off on banana seats.
Send out mail. Mm-hmm. Get access to a great database and send out mail. We have our members do it all the time. Go and ask questions in SuccessPlant. Ask all the questions that you might have on this topic or any other topic in SuccessPlant.com. A lot of our members are in there addressing day by day, real time issues and concerns and celebrating. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to see how successful some of our people are running this program, ask some questions in there. Mm-hmm. All right. We answered it.
Okay. What else did you have? You had some funny stuff that you wanted to share.
Well, before the show, this prompted a funny conversation that we probably should have turned the mics on for you and I about stuff. You've had a conversation like this with your friends a million times. The stuff that we used to do, you know, as kids.
Right.
That, you know, would probably kill these kids today.
Oh, yes.
Like drinking from the hose. Like, do you have something?
You know what? Some kids are still doing it, like, you know, riding behind cars on skateboards.
Yeah, so kid number two's got a car, and he's got a piece of rope tied to the back. And Jill's like, what the? I knew exactly what it was.
I did not know what that was. I'm like, what is that hanging down?
All you male listeners know exactly what that is. And all you female listeners are shaking your head right now.
Oh, my gosh.
No, it's to pull a skateboard or...
I want to shoot him. He's pulling a wagon and tricycles with his friends on it. I'm like, oh my gosh. He's like, the tricycle's in my trunk. I'm like, I didn't want to know that. Don't tell me. Because he's 17.
I think a lot of these things that we did were as kids, and then, you know, it's the truth of it is nothing's going to kill these kids. It's fine. I think that a lot of it's retail driven. Like this whole, how many helmets are being manufactured?
Yeah, I never had a helmet.
And they're guilting, neither did I. Still don't. And our kids don't. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Send us letters if you want.
I know.
Like I just think a lot of it's a malarkey.
Yeah.
They're guilting parents into this the craziness. Hey, did they have like a Babies R Us for when we were kids?
You
got your grandmother's crib that your mother was,
right?
You know,
and you're
and
sure
that was your crib,
and your head could go right through the
That's
slats.
That's right. Or there was a lot of the slats were broken for when your mom's head went through there.
And I'm sure it was lead paint.
That's right.
That you chewed on.
Is this gum or lead paint? I don't know. He'll be fine.
That's so funny.
You know what? Want to hear a funny story from my childhood?
Oh, gosh. Yes.
So we had when I was a kid, we had literally, it was a log cabin that my grandfather built with his hands in Traverse City, Michigan, because I'm from Detroit. And we'd go up there. Some of the best memories I have when I was a kid is going up there. And my dad taught me how to shoot a shotgun. And there was like a little creek/river. And he taught me how to shoot a shotgun by shooting fish in this creek, you know, without any earplugs in or anything. And then we would like collect the fish and, you know, pull all the shot out of it and eat it.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think these kids do this today?
No. No.
That's a childhood memory.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. You know what? I was just thinking that what along the lines of what we did back then, my dad always bought fireworks, like the firecrackers. Remember those little things? There was always, they only have like a strip and they had the skinny things. You rip them off. And so we all knew where they were in his desk drawer and he wasn't around. We're playing with them.
Yeah.
You know, so we're playing with matches and fireworks all the time.
I carried a knife to school all through grade school, middle school and high school. Not because I was going to stab anybody and not because it was,
cool.
Yeah.
Just felt cool.
Yeah, you bring it out at lunch, you know, cut your sandwich with it, put it back like you're a grown-up.
Like flip it? Was it like a pocket knife?
It was like a, Swiss Army knife.
Oh, there you go. That's hilarious.
That's a felony now.
What else, right? What else did we do? Oh, give me some more, Stephen. What are some things that you did? I think my firecracker.
Here's a perfect one.
Okay.
How many kids do you know? I'm cheating and looking on the internet. How many kids do you know walk to school alone?
Oh,
I walked to school or rode my bike to school every single day. Yeah. And so did everybody else.
Yeah, everybody did. You're right. We weren't.
And if I got my ass kicked, then I did. And I learned not to walk that way anymore.
Are we allowed to say that word
on
this?
No, I shouldn't say it.
Okay.
I'll bleep it out.
Okay.
No, I won't.
Okay. So, but yeah, you're right. That we were, remember latchkey kids? Hello. My brother and I came home alone after school. Mom was working the afternoons. And we had our jobs. We had, and boy, if you didn't get your stuff done, I had to empty the dishwasher. And I don't know what Jeff had to do, but I got in trouble, man, if it wasn't done. But we had a key. And then what was funny, though, is we'd always invariably get in a fight, every day.
Oh, sure.
So we're calling mom at the office, and she's like, really?
I went through the exact same thing, Jeff.
Oh, my gosh, really? Poor mom. It was funny. You know, every day it's something.
At a certain point, my parents, and I think all parents, us included, when the sibling thing happens, our kids don't fight that much. I don't know why.
Why is that?
I don't know. They're 4 years apart. A
couple of them do.
They're pretty spread apart. Yeah. I think if they're the same age, it'd be a mess.
The two older ones do. Because when you get to high school and they've been in common, they have their own little things. But yeah.
But all parents get to a point where they say, you know what? You guys solve your own problems. I'm done. I'm done this discipline thing. I'm done taking stuff away. You're just going to have to figure it out yourselves.
I agree with that.
And then they stop fighting.
Yeah. That happened. Well, you know what? There's something that was in 1979 that people don't do now. You're right. Let them figure it out. So my brother and I, my parents told me, you know, Jill, someday he's going to be bigger than you and he's going to get you back. And sure enough, it happened. Boy, is he bigger than me. So, I got what I deserved coming to me, I'm sure.
Look how well you guys turned out.
Thank you.
Your brother's a straight treasure, Arizona State Treasurer.
I know.
And you're killing it, woman.
Thank you very much.
I'm serious.
It's because we took matters into our own hands. Just kidding.
There's a lot of stuff in there. I don't want to get into it. It's a long list of stuff. You know what happened.
What is this? What did you Google over there? Is it called like 1979 child raising?
I Googled some version of, you know, stuff that we did as kids that's, you know, that would kill these kids today.
Right.
Some version of that.
Exactly. We would take off, and you know what? Remember what things do? We would take off and not come home till, you know, the streetlights are on. And you might have missed dinner, by the way.
This is a true story. Like 3-4 days ago, I returned a bunch of stuff to Home Depot with number 3. Mm-hmm. And we're in the store, and it was in the back of my car, and I forgot about it. And I said, listen, I handed threw the keys to the kid and said, listen, go, please go, and he's 12. Mm-hmm. Please go get all the stuff in the receipts are in there in the bags. Just please return it, and I'll find you later. Mm-hmm. And he did. And he went to the whole thing, and I found him at the return counter. He's just about done. I handed him my debit card because he knows the PIN and the whole thing. And he was just about done with the whole transaction. And I walked up and I said, how's it going? And the guy, the clerk, he was like, you know, about my age. He's like, man, I got to tell you, this is how this should go.
Right.
He's like, everybody does. They have to spoon feed these kids.
Right.
We're going to lose listeners over this.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a few people that are cheering because they get it.
In an effort to reel it back in. It's not 1979, so please don't source undervalued property like that. You have a tremendous asset right in front of you called this computer, so you can use it to make money. Get access to a good database, send some great offers out, and start collecting some money. Join us in another episode where Jill and I get sidetracked, but then try to discuss your all-important success in property investment and in life. I could go on forever. There's some funny stuff in here.
I wonder where that show ranks as far as scattered topics.
Our listeners might not know this, but, you know, unlike a radio show, a podcast, you get reports on how many people listen to it, mm-hmm. and, you know, how many downloads it gets for, like, the life of the show.
Right.
So we can see which shows people really are listening to and which people are just like, no.
That was painful. Yeah, they're like, yep, so, I'm out.
This will be... You know, this one is going to generate feedback too, because I haven't talked to any adults that our age that think that it's okay to baby kids.
Maybe
it's just our friends.
We have some friends that are like that, but you know what's funny? They differ. What I find in the friends, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. One's an attorney, and he thinks along the lines that we do. His wife thinks differently, so. And she kind of wins on this one. I mean, he doesn't, it just the way it works out. But you know what I'm saying, Stephen? So we have some friends that they do agree with our way of thinking and raising kids. What's my thing? We want them to be independent, not dependent. That's mm-hmm. That's my thing. I'm raising yes. people to be
that's
independent.
That's a very nice way to say that.
So
I would say it way differently. And that's why we're partners.
Very good. Exactly.
If your children aren't suffering from something.
Oh, my gosh.
You are raising someone who is potentially going to be living in your house forever.
That is not at all how I do it. Okay, if that works for you. Okay. I will say this. Steven, you are really good at making sure these kids know how to fend for themselves. And that's a good thing. You know, any kid, even the people that work for us, you better learn to solve your own problems real quick.
I was watching this movie with number 3 recently, and it was like one of these 1-star rated movies. Like, you know, no one has any business watching it. But it was like, so the apocalypse came, and these people were living in there was a huge water shortage.
Okay.
And there's all this, they're on the ocean.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the heck is the problem here? And the kid's going, what are you talking about? I said, you can make fresh water out of salt water.
Right.
And he said, oh, boy, yeah, but you have to have all this equipment and power. And I said, okay, stop right there. Come with me.
And did you guys do it? Did you test this?
I took thing on a pot of water, put mm-hmm. a bunch of salt in it so you couldn't drink it. Mm-hmm. And this is real life, in real life. So, and then, so you've got a big pot of water with a bunch of salt in it. So you have salt water. You put like a baking bowl in there, you know, mm-hmm. like a thing you would stir to make cookies, a big bowl in there. Mm-hmm. And then you turn the heat on the stove and take the lid and turn it upside down. Mm-hmm. So all the condensation. So the condensation, when the water's boiling, it's fresh water mm-hmm. and it collects on the top and then drains down into the baker's bowl. And we drink it.
Cool.
And I said, you know, that's the kind of stuff you need to teach your kids, not like, you know, I think sometimes children need to use violence to solve their problems.
Oh, gosh. Let's not go there.
If we have any listeners left.
Oh, no. Let's not go there.
I don't mean every day.
I'm Please let's not go there.
All right. Hey, what's this show about? Oh, property. Let's go buy some.
We hold a drawing to win a free property every month. Enter to win by reviewing this show on iTunes and downloading our free ebook at landacademy.com.
If you want to get involved or you need more information about our profitable, niche real estate operation, call 480-467-0359. You just might get Jill at the other end of the line.
LandAcademy.com. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.